Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go to the midnight breakfast. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go to the midnight breakfast. Eggs and bacon, waffles too. No topic there is taboo. Coffee's black, the jokes are blue. At the midnight breakfast.
Hello, everyone. My name is David Sharp, and you're listening to the inaugural episode of Midnight Breakfast. My guests this week are Katie Merriam.
You know, they did do that. They put little fake eyelashes on him.
And Laura Crawford.
It was Sophie's choice with no choice. Hey, which do your kids still like better? Why are you asking? No reason.
And you will also occasionally hear the voices and or laughter of our production team, audio engineer Dave Brennan, and our comestible engineer and contributing wit, Shayna Brennan. At Midnight Breakfast, we talk to my comedian friends about their passions, interest areas, and the shit they've spent way too much time thinking about. In the end, there's nothing that I like better than a good, true story. All episodes are recorded in the Brennan's Breakfast Nook / Recording Studio here in not-so-bad Van Nuys, California, while Shayna prepares us a delicious pile of bacon and eggs. We do hope that you don't find the intermittent hiss of bacon or clatter of silverware distracting. It's just part of the ambiance here at Midnight Breakfast. Our guests are also treated to delightful desserts provided by our sponsor, Kettle Glazed Donuts in Hollywood, California. Kettle Glazed, great donuts. So feel free to cook something up for yourself as you listen to us talk about today's subject, pets. Our topic of conversations run the gamut from our fondest childhood pets, our worst childhood pets, mammals versus reptiles, and what purpose our furry little friends serve in the first place. There will be packs of wild chihuahuas, questionable parenting, pansies that weren't originally crotchless, and a compelling portrait of America's newest sweetheart, Morty the Blind Wonder Dog. Midnight Breakfast is a member of the Crab Diving Network, and you can find us online at midnightbreakfastpodcast.com or on Twitter at 12 AM Breakfast. My name again is David Sharp, and I am online at davidsharpcomedy.com or at davidandsharp. Laura is on Twitter at CrawfordComic, and Katie is on Twitter at Kateability. And finally, this episode is dedicated to Morty, Polly, Thomas Beans, Iggy Pig, and yes, even Pumpkin Pie. So please, enjoy the very first Midnight Breakfast.
So you guys have pets? You don't have a pet.
I don't. I can't move my apartment. I would love to. I used to have a site called I Want to Steal Your Dog.
And those are just cute dogs that you, in an ideal world, would just take from that person?
Yeah.
Well, a PETA marked van in the middle of the night.
Get it. Yeah. No, it used to be that I would like to take people's pictures of their pets when they weren't looking. We'll look at you later.
I own part of your puppy's soul. What's your dog's name?
My dog's name is Morty.
And Morty's blind?
Morty's blind now. He wasn't a year ago. He went blind like that. It was a genetic disease. He's been to an ophthalmologist. I've never been to an ophthalmologist. My dog. For just under $1,000. So, you know, good for the wallet. Just to find out that it's a genetic disease.
And there's nothing you can do. Thank you for the money.
Yeah.
Enjoy your blind dog.
Yeah, and then they wanted to do checkups just to see how he's doing. I was like,
still blind!
Sad.
He's still blind!
Said there's nothing, so.
Well, I was gonna say, what do they do to the dog? Is it like, is this better or is this better? Is this better? Pulls him a paw.
You know, they did do that. They put little fake eyelashes on him. I swear to God, he's got these things fluttering around on his eyes. And then they did all these tests with him, and like, he did or did not react, and he was trying to get the thing off or not trying to get the thing
fake
off.
Fake eyelashes made sense, but then they're like, but why the rouge and
lipstick? It's like, he looks beautiful.
Never know!
Clockwork orange like thing.
It was very bizarre.
So they're like reading.
Well, I wonder that with babies with glasses. How do they measure that baby's vision? Same thing, probably.
I don't know. But it was like, it was also a matter of like how much liquid his eyeballs were making. I mean, it was like all this stuff. And she was ruling out what it could be.
So does he get around pretty good?
He has smashed his face into so many things. He no longer has front teeth. But
oh no!
Oh.
See, you gotta say that as one sentence.
I need to get him a Cherokee or something, like someone to go in front.
I put these little curb feelers on his collar now because I saw that online.
Mm-hmm.
To do that, so now he gets around a little bit better, but he still goes face first into a lot of things. He has slowed down. He's learned to slow down. He was a fast moving guy, and he's learned the hard way. to slow it up.
Like a lot of
slow it up, Morty.
Like a lot of human men named Morty and his age. He has to learn to slow down a little bit.
Yes, he looks his name now.
Yeah.
Old and toothless.
Old and toothless and blind.
Toothless Morty.
Morty ain't what he used to be.
He doesn't feel sorry for himself.
As far as
that's
we know.
The great thing about dogs, right? Is that they're happy regardless of the circumstance. Blind, toothless, smashing your head into things, still wagging that tail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the funniest slapstick comic I know. It's like so bittersweet. Like, there's two other dogs that live with him sometimes, and they were all in the living room. They came running into my room, which is a little bit of a curve in the hallway, right? Mm-hmm. And the two dogs are in front, and they make the curve, and then I just see my dog go straight past and smash.
Oh, Marty.
It's like you want to laugh, but then you're like,
yeah.
Oh,
Lord.
And luckily he doesn't have any more teeth, so he's fine. Just
now that he just got the teeth out of the way.
Nothing left to lose, Morty.
What about just going around the entire apartment and just one little, like, foam bumper? Just like Morty height.
Nose height.
Yeah. It's like bumper bowling. not to, just as, like, a mean thing. I don't like roommate dogs.
Okay.
Living with your own dog, that's cool. Yeah. But living with someone else's dog, it's like living with a person. It carries so much of the same baggage, but that dog is never going to pay the rent.
Well,
that dog is going to, like, tear your shit up. You're probably going to have to, like, take that dog for a walk. You're probably going to have a time when in the middle of the night you step in dog puke. But
it's not your dog.
It's not your dog. You get none of that. Every once in a while, you probably get some, like, affection. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
I mean, I like dogs.
You like your roommate's dogs?
Yeah.
Get along with them? You chat?
They're chihuahuas. They are excitable, and they have definitely destroyed my underwear. But I like dogs, so, you know.
Did your roommate buy you new underwear, or?
No, now I have crotchless underwear. It's
oh, nice.
They're kind of convenient.
You just seam it up so it looks nice?
Yeah. So.
Dogs or cats? Your dog people?
Mm. I like dogs more. It seemed when I talked to people who own them, and they're like, I can't leave, you know, gotta go back, gotta get the dog out of the crate, gotta walk the dog.
So much work.
Gotta get the dog shots, gotta do this. It's a lot of work. Well, in this country, we love dogs. I think in cats and pets more than any other. Muslims can't have dogs.
Really?
There's a passage in the Quran that says an angel will not enter a house where a dog is present.
But cats are fine. Angels are cat people.
And then it's funny because I remember, like, growing up in my neighborhood, there's like a couple Indian families. And they were not fans of dogs because they come from a place where dogs are running around on the street giving people rabies and whatnot.
Right. Did you have dogs at your house?
I had a dog for a time, but
was it weird for them coming over to you?
Yeah, they were not fans of it.
It would come up all happy and, like, try to lick their hands.
And they would just be like, they would just be scared. And you kind of take it for granted, like, people love dogs. If you don't love dogs, you're an asshole. Well,
if you don't love animal saliva all over your hands that you're about to eat food with, you're an asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you accept that from a person?
Or even a special needs
what
child,
person?
I wouldn't. I'm saying if you had a kid and they were like, then he doesn't know what he's doing, you know? I still wouldn't like it. Some kid slobbers all over your hand.
But you put up with it.
I obviously like dogs. I don't let my dog lick my hands, so.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you stop it?
I say stop.
And the dog just does it.
Yeah, well, now it's really easy. I just take my hand away and he can't find it again.
Oh, his mind
and the little tongue is out of the
My ex-boyfriend gave him, he has two cats, and he wanted to get a dog. And I was kind of reluctant because I was like, if I want to get a dog, because then it's like, it's your dog, you know, because you're not going to be around that often. Mm-hmm. So the dog will love you more anyway. You'll be providing most of its needs.
And also, the cats are distant enough that you avoid jealousy, but the dog, that it's going to be.
Two people living in a one-bedroom apartment with two cats
and
a dog?
Mm.
Yeah, that seems excessive. And I saw him after I moved out, and he had gotten the dog, and I saw him with the dog. It was a small dog, but I'm still like, I'm really glad I'm not living in that apartment.
I love cats, you know? And I would absolutely have as many cats as possible. I have three right now in a house, and I would go up to four or five, but it's just not reasonable. Cats are territorial animals, and I assume that dogs are as well. I haven't tried to raise a pack of dogs before. what do you call a bunch of cats? A coven? I assume.
A problem.
Yeah. A problem of cats.
But I found that in that apartment, though, even with two cats in that one bedroom, you always go to this apartment, you're like, it smells like cat shit in here. It smells like cat pee over here.
This is a house. Like an apartment. There's not, like, a place you can put a litter box that's not everywhere that anybody would see it.
I used to like having indoor-outdoor cats, and that's easier. but I get a lot of anxiety. I lived on this corner and I could hear semis go by on a street, and just every single time, like, I'm like, this is the time where I hear, you know, the like squeal of tires and have to go out and... God, I don't know. He was gone for like 2-3 days one time. He brought back fleas 2 times. He got himself treed 2 times.
What?
Treed, you know, they're excellent at going up the trees because of the way their claws are shaped. Not so good for coming down. And so he was in like a tree in my neighbor's house across the street, and I could hear him yelling. It just felt so bad.
Why do they want to go up there then?
David! Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Like, and it's my neighbors, and so it's not even mine.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's loud for me, and I know that they can hear it. It's like 3 a.m. So then I kept him inside.
But your cats are all fixed?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a ridiculous question. Some people don't.
Yeah.
Why not? Why?
I don't know. Some people are just weirdos.
The best reason to fix your cats is because if you don't, they will pee all over your house.
Oh, that's right.
They spray, and it's territorial. You have to get them fixed before they start doing that. Otherwise, they'll always do that.
Yeah. I heard if you fix a male cat, it gets really big. Like, it becomes a giant cat.
Yeah. They get bigger. They get that, like, wattle thing cats have where it's, like, that extra layer of fat that kind of hangs down that when they walk. Polly here has it really bad. Polly is the cat of the house here. And it just, like, it swings back.
She looks kind of like a skinny cat, and then you watch, and it's, like, this sideways thing.
I was visiting Toronto, like, a few years ago, and I went to a open house at an animal shelter just to look at pets.
Oh, God.
Did you ever go to an animal shelter just tease yourself with pets?
No, it's heartbreaking.
Sometimes. And then they started doing the thing where they just, like, bring pets to, like, grocery stores or Home Depots or something, ambushing you with the, like, you could have this kitten. And they always bring the most, like, friendly, like, he doesn't have a home and he just loves people so much. It's like, I have 3 cats already!
Yeah.
I would!
It was an open house, so I went to go check out the animals. And it's funny, because, like, in the U.S. one, the U.S. animal shelter I've been to, it was all pit bulls. Mm-hmm. And in Canada, I guess nobody has pit bulls, because the meanest dog in the animal shelter was a beagle. But the hilarious thing was they made us watch this video called, what was it? Cat City. And it was about the rampant...
Cat City.
It was about,
For the listener, City. I just thought, shot straight up in my chair.
This was more just about the feral cat population in Toronto, and they were talking about the issue with the booming cat population. I think they were saying they were like, when a cat's like 3 months old, it can start reproducing.
What?
Yeah. Or something like that. Like,
they should
super
not.
Young.
They should not, because they're bad parents when they're that young.
You know, they're just too young. They're not ready to be. Babies having babies.
Did she get her own reality show on MTV?
Yeah.
She did. For
3 months old and pregnant. But they had this chart about the exponential population of cats, and they were like, just one cat can make this many thousand cats over its lifetime.
Wow.
Yeah, they were like dock cats.
No, it's like here. Like,
no, but they were. They were like tough cats that hunt out of the docks. They were always on these rocks. They were down by the docks, and they were rough street cats. And
they're always talking about unloading pallets.
Yeah. They said what they had to do was they had to like have one guy who would earn the trust of the pack, and then he would slowly start giving them food. And then some of them, he would give food that would knock them out, and then they would take them in and fix them, and then put them back out again. But sometimes, once they got put back out there, they would have a hard time rejoining the pack, because they'd be like, you're different now. I don't know what it is.
You changed, Johnny. You changed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've gone soft.
Yeah, that's a bummer of a cat city. There are fun cat cities out there. Like, there's a mental institution in New York.
The one in Staten Island that's in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, yeah. And it used to be a place where just horrible things happened. I went through a thing a little while ago. I was reading about, like, horrific mental institutions of the, like, 1800s.
Wait,
that sounds like a cat person thing to do.
Oh, does it? Oh, does it? Because cat people are crazy.
No, I mean, they're boring. I was reading about PETA. They've euthanized like 20,000 pets over the past 11 years.
PETA's the worst.
Yeah, all their shelters, they just euthanize all the animals because they don't want them to become pets. There's this story I was reading about a guy who, they kidnapped his chihuahua.
Stop it.
And they killed it. And they left him flowers on his doorstep for his dead dog.
Oh, that's like mobster. That's mobster shit. Wait, how does he know it
They signed it from them. Then they found out later that they were the ones.
P.S. We did it? Like, I mean,
They get like $31 million, and all they do with their money is like kill pets with it. This Virginia man claims that PETA kidnapped and euthanized his chihuahua.
What?
A Virginia guy says that PETA employees came onto his property and stole his family's beloved chihuahua. Days later, PETA representatives came to his home and told him the dog had been euthanized. When Cerate checked his security camera, the video revealed that a van with PETA on the side had backed into his driveway and two women got out. One of them walked onto his porch, grabbed Maya, and put her in the back of the van. 3 days later, two women from PETA were back with a fruit basket. They told the family that poor Maya had been euthanized. When they failed to provide proof of the dog's death, Cerate called the police.
But what would PETA, why would PETA...
They don't want animals to live as pets because they think it's degrading to them. They would rather they be dead than be pets.
But so, the wild chihuahua...
The majestic creature.
They take over villages in Mexico and stuff and like harass the villagers.
Are you talking about chihuahuas or PETA?
Both, probably. There was like packs of chihuahuas that would harass villagers.
The most adorable nuisance.
You ever gotten bit by one?
Yeah, I mean...
It's not fun.
No, I'm sure. I'm sure, yeah.
I've had my ankle bitten, blood drawn.
Tiny sharp teeth, I bet.
It's like little needles.
Yeah, so better than domesticating and training them to be friendly and enjoy people's company, we should just let them roam free and join packs of ankle-biting ferocious...
Yeah, they believe that the ideal natural habitat animal-human relationship is we could look at them from afar.
Or kill them.
Or kill them.
That's so crazy to me. That's like, how could you be such an animal person if you don't, like, have pets, is what I want to know. Because
they
you
think
don't...
that's a demeaning relationship.
But so why do they care so much? Like, I care about animals because I have animals that I'm close to, and I'm like, oh, I love this animal, and as such, I can hypothesize that other animals are good.
Yeah. For them, it's more of an ethics thing where they were like, this thing has its own soul and its own personality, and it shouldn't be dependent on you. It should be able to exist on its own.
But I know that some of them have pets because they've talked about it. And they're like, oh, I don't own this animal.
They call them companion animals. They don't even like the word pet. They find that degrading.
Oh, so it's a language thing.
Yeah.
This is my roommate, Whiskers.
Yes. Like they think they're just... Like,
I have him pay rent.
Or
I force
like,
him to pay rent.
Like the idea of you giving an animal a silly name and putting like hat on it or something.
So you should give it a dignified name.
But how do they even know what its name is if they're backing into your yard and stealing it and killing it?
Yeah.
Did they ask it?
Did you guys see all the Cecil the Lion stuff?
That's essentially a pet. He had a collar.
But also, there is a hypocrisy to me about the people that are up in arms about that particular animal killing and eating animals all the time. Where do we draw that line? Why is it okay sometimes and not okay other times?
Because they're endangered. And that line is endangered.
We got a lot of cows.
Too many.
We got a lot of dogs. We got a lot of cats.
Yeah, I think.
And if we started breeding them for food, then we would definitely have lots
also,
of them.
Also, a lion is a big, beautiful thing.
So beauty is part of the equation?
Yeah, it is.
Majesty?
Yeah, it's majestic. It's a big animal.
Kyle's got such a dumb face.
Well,
yeah. It's like a dumb...
Have you seen a turkey? The thing's gross. Kill
right?
She got a Did
you ever hear the phrase, making biscuits?
Yeah, sure, of course. Mm-hmm. For the listener, it looks like Laura's sensually playing the bongos.
Making biscuits. Yeah.
Kneading dough. It's incredibly pleasurable because, you know...
For you?
So, yeah, for you, because it's like the cat is so... It says that, like, I'm as happy as I was when I was a kitten and I was feeding. You're like my mother. But also, they have claws, and those claws dig into you when they're doing that.
Are you
so
clothed
like,
when you're doing
this? I love you, you're sweet! Sometimes.
Wait, how naked are you around your animals?
Sometimes you take showers, you know, you walk around naked before that, and... Why? Are you worried about, like, judgment from cats?
Cats are always judging.
They're always judging.
Well, your dog's blind now, so...
Yeah, my dog's
blind. It's gonna have to win.
My cats are fat, so if anything, they're not judging me, they're just experiencing solidarity. Hey, he's got a waddle, too! Alright!
You know, my first pet was actually a cat, so I guess I did start a cat person and I transitioned.
What was your cat's name?
Well, that's funny. You should ask me.
That's a lot.
Because I was just a child, and they put this white Persian kitten, and I was like, this is a white cat. Its name is Lacey. And then I found, like, this wound on her stomach, and I was like, I kept poking and so, like, she was, like, really upset every time I touched her. I brought my dad over, and I was like, Dad, there's something wrong with Lacey. She doesn't like it when I touch this wound. And then he called the vet, and he's like, this is not a female cat.
Mm-hmm.
This is a male cat you gave us as a female cat. And I was poking its dick.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm just now realizing this. Lacey was deaf. So I have a thing with pets and not having all their senses.
What you're saying is that everything around you slowly collapses.
I just imagine you get married and the guy gets like Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I want people to think breakfast is here.
Oh my god, so
many
people.
Got breakfast.
Anyone? Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah. Oh, I did work for an organization that brought old people pets to come hang out with them.
Oh, that's the sweetest, probably saddest thing.
It was like the least sad thing that the organization had to do for old people.
Okay.
It was the most popular program for people to volunteer for.
Sure.
But it was called Matchup Interfaith Volunteers. That's
the
too much
Jesus
stuff.
Thing?
No, no. That's what's weird about it. It sounded like a weird faith-based organization, but no one who worked there did that shit at all. They would even be like, I don't even know what we're called. But the actual people had no interest in meeting any of the old people. They were like, the animal likes it. That's what they would say. They'd be like, no, it's for the dog. The dog likes it. The test to actually see if a dog could do that service, they basically had to kind of abuse the dog to see how much abuse it could take.
Oh,
not really abuse it, but it would have to be a dog that if a person's cane went on its tail, it
wouldn't snap.
It wouldn't snap. So they had to find a dog that could take like a lot of abuse. Like a super good natured dog to the point of being like almost unbearable. So, because a lot of people.
So they would like.
They would like shake pots around it and stuff.
Okay.
And make loud crashing noises.
Sure.
Or a lot of stimuli and stuff and see how the dog would react.
Mm.
Because they were like, we can't have like a wheelchair roll over the dog. Tail and it flips out or something on all these old people because they're, you know, their bodies, their skin is fragile and, you know, papery.
You know how old people are. They hate getting bit by dogs.
Yeah, I just love the aspect of the people never wanted to be involved with old people. They were just like, I'll let that to the dog.
Dogs. Are pibbles a fad?
Yeah,
is
they
that
have
like
been
a trend?
A
fad.
Well,
you think we're
going like
to see
breed,
an end
though.
To that?
It's
or
like,
is it...
No, it's not even a breed. It's just an intermixing of a lot of square-jawed dogs.
So you're Rottweilers.
Really tough, manly dogs. Had a lot of testosterone during
adolescence. One of my ex-boyfriends, his brother had, not bull mastiffs, they were these huge dogs that they used to have breed in South Africa to guard
Pain
people's...
Corsos.
Yeah, probably. They have humongous heads, big shoulders. They look like humongous Rottweilers.
No.
I forget.
These are all big dogs that we've named.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There's some variety of South African dog that used to guard plantations and farms against lions. And he had like three of these dogs, and they were just humongous, and they would be running around this giant pen. Like, you would bring his little kid around them, and I just was thinking, like...
Just, like, one bad day for that one of
those dogs. I just always think, if that dog... If something snaps in its brain, it has some sort of... Thank you. Some sort of brain aneurysm or something, even something that it can't control...
The kid
Your
has
kid,
a toy
yeah.
and, like, jams it into the dog's eye because kids are dumb and they jam things into
places.
And...
I know that people are all like, oh, pit bulls are great with kids, but is it worth it to test these theories?
I don't know. I mean, any dog is only as good as how it's raised.
Yes.
You know, and so there are gentle, sweet pit bulls, and there are really terrible, ferocious chihuahuas that apparently take over towns and start drug cartels.
I was going to say, like, a chihuahua can bite a child, too. Won't do as much damage.
Yeah. Well, I always think I would want a pet that I could kill if it ever went insane.
I think that's a good rule.
Thank you.
Which is why you can only keep orangutans until they're like 5 years old.
Exactly. There's actually whole groups
of
people.
Or like never have an orangutan.
No. In Florida, there are a lot of older chimps that have moved.
They're like chimp retirement communities.
Yes, there are chimp retirement communities. That's what I was
trying to say.
There
are chimp cities.
Well, they're more like chimp communities.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we starting to split hairs about your friends, the chimps?
But yeah, it's because all these old people adopt baby chimps when they're like infants and they love taking care of them. And then they get to be like adolescent chimps who don't want to play ball
and
tear your eyes out. But yeah, I mean, that's not a pet.
I have always liked the idea of having a monkey.
Who has it?
I think that's fun. Chimpanzees, orangutans, those are probably a little too much.
You want bonobo, baby.
How big do bonobos get?
Like 2 or 3 feet tall, probably.
So, like, still enough that I could kill it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, bonobos, they don't reason with violence, they reason with sex. So you don't kill it, you just have to, like...
You'll just fuck it.
Yeah.
Teach it a lesson.
Yeah.
Or you put a little cinnamon oil on their palms when they jerk off, it hurts.
Ow. Lacey doesn't like it when I touch this wound with cinnamon oil.
Oh, God. So what's like a super crazy pet you would own?
The most exotic pet I did own was a red-eyed tree frog.
Whoa.
But it was,
are those poisonous?
You're poisonous to it if you touch it too much.
Did you feel like you have a loving relationship with a frog?
I thought it was badass at the time.
Yeah. Who got it for you? Your parents got it for you?
No, my cousin did because she was dating this guy that worked at a...
Exotic pet store.
Exactly. I just kind of... I was at the age where I really liked red-eyed tree frogs.
It's like
they
cute
they were
and unique. You had like a trapper keeper
exactly.
that had a few on the front.
Lisa Frank used to have them.
Lisa Frank, hell yes.
Did you have like a terrarium and stuff?
Mm-hmm. She was really easy to keep care of. Her name was Gimmel.
Gimmel?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Gimmel is from Dreidel. That's one of the sides of the Dreidel.
Yep, it means cash money.
Cash money.
So I was told. I was actually out of town when she died, and my mother put her in the freezer for me.
Oh my god!
So you had to like defrost her and then flush her down the toilet?
No,
I buried. Buried her. Yeah. Christian burial.
Yeah, Christian.
Performed last rites. Had a
good
priest.
Catholic burial. Yeah. Amongst all the other family pets. Of-
Did you have a pet cemetery? Pet
yes.
graveyard?
Yes.
Yeah, there was a little plot for the buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't come back the same. I mean, I like pigs. I wouldn't mind having a pig.
Really?
As we eat bacon.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, no, exactly.
They're still great. They basically have a dog-like temperament. And if you get the smaller breeds, they're pretty cute.
They're very smart, too.
Are they dog trainable to not poop everywhere?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You always hear that they're, like, smarter than the other pets.
That's why that movie Babe made so much sense. Can I tell a really quick, not traumatizing animal death story?
I would love to.
We were thinking about that with your mom putting it in the freezer. I had a hamster when I was in the fourth grade. My mom is almost autistic in some of her behaviors. She means well, very much, but she has a hard time communicating what's going on in her head.
Mm-hmm.
So she came in my room to wake me up for school. She had seen that my hamster had died during the night.
Oh, dear.
But she didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. She didn't do anything. She just acted like everything was normal so that I would find it, so that I would discover it.
Okay.
And stuff. And then she made me bury it in the backyard before school started.
No, I think that's all right. Let the kid find it on
her
own.
Why?
Who wants to, like, Laura, wake up. I have great news.
Well,
got something to show you.
I'd have to see it. I don't need to see it.
Don't see it ever? Just, like, make it disappear and then just say he's gone?
No, just leave your hamster pet died.
A friend of ours has a daughter, and a couple years ago, her pet frog died, and so the mom hired a Disney prince to come and say, "Hey, Gabby, I've been released. Thank you so much. You've taken such good care of me these past years, but I must return to my kingdom."
Oh my
god.
Yeah,
and
that's fantastic.
How the frog
died. That's fantastic. I had none of that. I got Laura. It's cold. It's snowing outside. It's cold. Go outside with a shovel and just bury your pet and get ready for school.
On the other hand, you didn't then spend 3 more years knee-deep in a swamp kissing amphibians.
Yeah. Well, I had 2 cats as a teenager. Not the greatest cats on earth, but pretty good. And then, like, when after I got out of college, my mom...
B-plus cats?
Yeah, my mom was like, "Do you want to take the cats?" And I was like, I think she would just be, like, offhandedly, like, goofing around, being like, "Oh, these cats." And I'd be like, "No, I can't, you know, the apartment, whatever." And she'd be like, "All right." And then one time I came home, I was like, "Where are the cats?" And she's like...
You didn't want them!
Yep. Jeez. Yep. Wow. She was like, "I gave them to a man at church whose cat died." She didn't tell me at all. She was just like, I just got rid of him.
And so,
and
was
she
there
was
a,
like,
man at church?
Yeah, I still don't know.
She gave him the PETA. That's the euphemism.
She gave him the PETA.
They're with PETA now.
His name was... She told me, she's like, "I wanted to get a new couch, and I didn't want them to ruin it." I know, they just gave those cats away to some fucking creep from church.
And, you know, you might have had a different answer if you knew the stakes of the question.
Exactly!
Do you want these cats, or do you just want them gone forever?
I know, it was Sophie's...
I would like to see them again.
It was Sophie's choice with no choice. Hey, which do your kids feel like better? Why are you asking? No reason.
Oh, God. Can you talk to animals? Do you think that's possible?
I do talk to my animals.
I feel like I talk to my cat.
Time.
If I present it in a certain way, I seem like a crazy person. But I feel like I have genuine moments of communication with my cat. I know what he's saying to me. It's not complicated. We don't talk philosophy.
And when you get these messages from the water bowl, or what?
He uses text messages, mostly emojis. You know, like, he's got a "I want out" meow. He's got a "I want food" meow. He's got a "I want love" meow.
A lot of time with this cat.
Yeah, he's my cat. Yeah. He lives in my house.
You have 3, though, right?
I have 3 cats. Yeah, the other ones, I don't talk to them. It's sad, but there's a very clear hierarchy of how much I love my cats.
Yeah.
There's a top, a middle, and a bottom, for sure.
Who's bottom?
Bottom is Pumpkin. Pumpkin is the cat that my mother jokingly says that she wants to get rid of.
Don't take it as a joke, man.
But she's always, "You want Pumpkin? You can take Pumpkin. You can have Pumpkin." Like, Pumpkin is, she's her inheritance, I guess. When her dad died, he had this, like, kitten that he'd just got because he was an optimist.
That's
so
weird.
Right? And so we inherited this kitten who turned out to be kind of a bitch. She'll let you know when she wants affection, but it's in this really, like, hostile way. She's like, "Pet me! Pet me now! Now's the time for petting!" Pair time is over! Plunkett just walks like a bulldog. She's the type of cat that just knocks stuff over. For science, for a game, for just like, fuck you, it's my territory. You have a thing on a table, just like, knock it on the floor.
You should film that because people get famous and rich filming their cats knocking shit over.
Mm. Yeah.
What?
It's true. You like, don't know about cat videos online?
Oh, I've heard of cat videos online, but I don't know, all of the niche genres.
Google cats are assholes.
Have you seen Trump Your Cat yet?
No.
It's where you brush your cat, you take all the hair off the brush, and you put it on top of the cat.
Oh my god! I have pictures on my phone of the ridiculous amounts of cat hair that I've taken off of my cat.
Put it on top of its head and take a photo.
That's a great idea. Really good idea.
Well, about exotic pets, I would not do a parrot or exotic bird because they live for like 70 years.
They'll outlive you.
They made a movie about Heidi Fleiss, a documentary about her.
Okay.
Like
Hollywood Man.
Yeah. They made a movie about her on HBO that was about when she's, you know, a couple of years ago after her relationship with Tom Sizemore when they were both, like, violent drug addicts and stuff. She had a house out in Vegas and, like, she wanted to open a male brothel. It didn't end up working out, but one of her neighbors is this lady in like her 80s ended up dying and giving her all of her birds, over a dozen kind of parrots and stuff. These birds live forever.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that to yourself.
I know that you're going to be really sad when I pass, and so I just want you to have 12 dinosaurs that shit everywhere and will bite your fingers off.
Yeah, a bunch of macaques and stuff.
Macaques! I've had parakeets. You know, they're okay. I think a bird is somewhere between a mammal and a reptile. There's a little more communication that can happen. If you look in their eyes, they're not entirely dead and soulless. I don't know, I've seen a bird, like, nuzzle somebody. That's cute.
Well, my best friend's in high school, he had a thing where he was like, I don't want to need to feel like my pet is cute for me to love it.
Wait, he doesn't need to...
He doesn't want to have to feel like to love a pet, it needs to be cute. He got a hairless rat, and that thing needs to be killed. It is so, like, even a rat, I revile when I see a rat, even if it's in a cage with people, but a hairless rat.
I have a cage in my house, I've got some people in it.
People and rats.
There are some rats in there, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't try to keep the rats, they just seem to like nibbling on the people, I don't know.
Yeah. But you know when you see people like, this is my pet rat, the rat's all hanging out and they act like it's chill. He brought his nephew, who was like an infant, in and showed him the hairless rat, and this baby, when it saw this rat, was screamed and was like flipped out. I'm like, that's a good sign, because that baby would not do that to a dog.
Babies are straight animal programming. There's no like socialization, like, oh, maybe this is okay, or oh, maybe I shouldn't react with horror to the thing that another person clearly likes. That is a foreign, possibly dangerous, super ugly thing that I don't want near me.
But like people who own snakes and stuff.
Okay, so what is owning a snake? Like, I feel like that's a move. Like people are trying to say something. What is that? What are they?
It's like cutting.
I feel like you should get tested for autism if you like. Not to harp on this.
It's like a tough guy thing.
I feel like with snake owners, snakes are more their spirit animal than like a dog owner would identify with the dog.
So this lady had a python and it was healthy for a while. Then it just kind of stopped eating. It started getting skinnier and it wouldn't eat, and she took it to the vet. You know, I can't get my python to eat. Like, what's going on? He's like, what it's doing is it's fasting so that it can eat you.
Oh my god. What?
It's preparing its body to be able to take in a meal as large as her. And she's like, oh, this is my pet. Like, oh no, you're sick. I care so much about you. And the pet is like, no, I'm just getting ready to murder you.
It's cool, bitch. Just lay down.
It's a reptile. Reptile.
You know Doug Riesel Jr., right?
Yeah, sort of.
100 jokes.
Yes. Doug Riesel Jr. lived with a family he was renting a room from. This was not like a chill neighborhood. This was like a scary-ish kind of neighborhood. Outside, they had this big display window. It was probably about 8 feet tall. Inside of it, they had a man-sized skull statue that was wearing a black robe holding a fake snake in cash. And it looked like a religious thing.
It looks like a Santa Muerte.
And then I went in the house. All in the walls, they had like a mural that would be like Santa Muerte, and it would be images of skulls and snakes and stuff. And then the guy who was the owner of the home had a huge terrarium with a big ass python in this. What are they doing with that?
So Doug Riesel
like,
just like lived?
Like, I don't know. Yeah. And he was, and he was like, I've never asked.
What?
What's the security deposit? Okay. All right. Sounds good. Well, I'll just sign here. Like, never, like,
yeah, he never inquired about
the
giant.
Well, hey, look, I was raised by carnies. I just figured this is how normals live, right?
Let's go. To the midnight breakfast. Let's go. midnight breakfast. Let's go get it on the end of the
night. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, what just happened to the
table? We just put donuts on it.
What?
Yeah, we have a sponsor.
We do. Oh,
what's your sponsor?
Kettle Glazed Donuts in Hollywood.
Oh, where are they?
In Hollywood.
They're on Franklin, right off of Vine, if you take the Vine exit off of 101.
You know where UCB is?
Yes.
Yeah, just like right down by the 101.
Oh, sick.
They got a little squashed in the box, but this is a s'mores donut, lemon square, Boston cream, and a croissant-style pistachio.
Oh my God.
I also got a knife that we just started randomly cutting
them up. Yeah, I'm really clever. I got a sponsor, not for money, but because they make the best donuts and I just want a bunch of free donuts. When the apocalypse comes, your cash money will be worthless, but my donuts,
you will be a god.
Are you
close
about your dog?
Is your dog more popular now that he's blind?
A lot of people don't even seem to know that he's blind. Like, even though
him.
I keep posting my blind dog.
They think you're being like, that you're exaggerating?
Yeah, I guess that's the case. I don't know. I mean, I have had him for a while, and he's only recently blind, so maybe.
Yeah.
Do you ever post videos of your dog not making the corner?
I have been meaning to actually post that.
I have been meaning to exploit his pain.
Exactly. That is what's holding me up.
Do people like make comments when you post it? Like, oh no, how do you let that happen?
The only video that I've really posted of his blindness was when he was first going blind. He couldn't find the front steps up to the door. So he would like goose step out trying
Nazi
to
dog.
Find the stairs like for like a couple feet. And that's the kind of reaction I got, so I haven't posted anything.
I have a feeling that the high-speed 1-2 bam is going to make
is going to be better. Impression.
You don't even have to say that he's blind for that. Then it's just three dogs going around a corner and one of them smacking into the wall.
Mm-hmm. I definitely have thought about where I should put the camera for that shot. But I haven't done it yet.
At some point, you have to call them. And then they are you complicit.
Here, boy.
They have to
Here, boy.
Away,
Who wants bacon? Crawford, you're shaking your head.
It feels
so you feel like animals, pets add a dimension to your life, David, that you otherwise would not have?
Well, yeah, obviously, because I've had them all my life, but I don't necessarily understand.
Obvious question, Crawford.
No, I don't mean it that way. Like, I mean, obviously, in that it must. I've chosen to keep cats all my life, right? So it obviously must be doing something for me. I don't 100% understand what that is. Companionship obviously is great. Everybody is a fan of companionship except for weird hermit people. Is that really what it is? Is it a surrogate parent thing? We play out narrative dramas. Pets are kind of death practice. As sad or morbid as that is, you give a kid pets early on so that they understand that there's a life cycle. There's growth and then there's death and then what happens...
Then you make them bury in the snow before school.
Yeah. And then when it happens to grandma and grandpa, they have some frame of reference. I don't know. I can say that could be true, but I don't know. Am I thinking about that? Am I consciously thinking about that when I have a pet? I don't know. They're fucking cute, man.
How much money do you spend on that animal?
Exactly, right? How much money do you spend on a pet? There's food, vet bills.
Ophthalmologists.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then you have to do sometimes that cruel mathematics of like, how much is my pet's eyesight worth? What will that? There are all these
Apparently
things.
I didn't have enough because it's gone. I think that having a pet teaches you empathy. It teaches you like a bunch of life lessons. And what makes me more nervous is people who've never had pets and don't understand how you could really love an animal. And like are very baffled by it. Like,
yeah, because it feels like they're missing an essential part of mammalian bonding. Looking into the eyes of a living thing and seeing like, oh, like you've got something going on in there. Like you have thoughts and feelings.
We could, as the spirit beings, easily smash them.
Yeah.
We choose not to.
You guys ever have a bad pet?
Yeah. I had a rabbit. He was a piece of shit. It would just piss on you. It was a jerk. It was bitey. And it just ended up giving away
Left,
some other
like,
people.
Racist YouTube comments on videos.
He was just a dick. He was just mean animal. Not
you
social.
You showed it a dead hamster and like, this could be you.
Exactly. Watch out. He was just... rabbits are just not very... Well, okay, I take that back. I had one friend in New York and he lived in Harlem and had like a small studio apartment and then just saw a rabbit popped out. And I was like, ah, it's a rabbit. Yeah, that's Jasper, my rabbit.
Jasper.
Very nice. But then I remember a couple years later, I see on Facebook, he's like, Kickstarter, Jasper needs surgery, it's gonna cost such and such amount of money, and it was one of those like super invasive intestinal surgeries, and I'm thinking like, thousands of dollars, they have a rabbit's life, like, go down to Chinatown, you see 12 of them in a window, like, he actually was able to raise the money, and he got this thing surgery, and then I saw it a couple months later, I went to go visit him, and I was like, Oh, fuck, there you are.
How was he? Came through it okay?
He was fine. I felt an asshole because, I mean, we were hanging out. I was like, I'm sorry. I thought you should die. And now I realize I'm
I have not ever bonded with a rabbit. Like, did you feel like he recognized you? Like, he knew who you were?
Yeah. He was fairly friendly.
And he hated you? No, okay.
No, I mean, the rabbit that I had as a kid was a dick. And then that rabbit changed my mind on rabbits.
Jasper changed your mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. We had a dog for a short time that got hauled off because it was... Jesus.
I had a brother for a short time. He didn't make a cut either.
This is why I'm so mean. It's a cutthroat system in this house. You do any damage to a couch and you're done.
Rabbits near Japan, right? And there's an island of cats near Japan. I wonder what other islands they have with pets on them.
We have an island of soiled girls' panties.
Japan is kind of awesome for pets. They have, like, the cat cafes.
Yes.
We went to a mall when we were in Tokyo, and, like, all that I could see on the signs was cat paradise. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, gotta go! Like, I don't know what this means, but I'm, like, magnetically drawn. And it was just, like, an open, like, a free-range cat area, a little room where you could go in and play with the cats. Pretty fantastic.
They lay better eggs when they're free range, you know? I think that Japanese people have cuter pets. The videos you see online of pets, cuter, bigger eyed, like more adorable little guys are usually, I'm being racist, I guess.
Yeah, against American pets. What are you saying, America isn't that cute enough pets? What do you hate America?
Well, they're more selective.
Yeah, things
are the cute features.
Japan 86, the ugly ones. Yeah.
They are better at it's not euthanasia. It's not genetics.
Eugenics.
That's what it is. Euthanasia, genetics.
It's a cancer. Yeah. Let that door wide open. My friend Caitlin was pet sitting for one of our friends who had a pet golden retriever, a puppy. And I was over her house. We were playing with the dog. And she had a small dog of her own. And she's like, all right, we're going to take the pets out to the yard. And there's like three steps that are like cement steps leading out of her house. And she has her dog. And I'm holding the puppy. And I just go, all right, here you go, boy. When you put a cat down, mm-hmm. how cats go, front paws, back paws. Mm-hmm. This dog flopped over, back hits the steps, and then rolls down.
No.
It's like it made no attempt to land this thing at all. So my friend just sees me go, here you go, and just fucking chuck a dog down the stairs. And then she goes, and then it went like, noise, and then like whimpered, and then got up and walked away.
Oh,
did you just throw the dog?
No! The expression isn't dogs always land on their feet.
That's what she started using. She goes, you throw the dog! And then I go, I thought it would land on its feet! She goes, no!
No one has ever said that! You've never once heard dogs land on their feet.
Yeah, and then I was like, I thought it would be like a cat. She's like, it's not a cat, it's a dog! And she just started screaming at me. And
God, dogs make the worst noises when things hurt them.
Yeah, if you step on their paw or something by accident.
I just remember once I was a kid and I was out in the yard playing with my uncle's dog, and the leash had gotten tangled up in its legs, and so I just like lifted the dog up to like get the leash out, and it just yelped, and it was just one of those like, oh god, they're gonna come out and they're gonna be like, why are you abusing the dog? I'm just trying to get him untangled.
Exactly. It was that kind of yelp where you're like, I'm a monster. It's like a baby crying.
My dog is really good at acting like it's being murdered with a knife. Oh. Sharp. My old apartment, I put it in the bathroom because he knows why. He started screaming bloody murder to the point where I could hear my next door neighbor come out and say, I think it's dying. I don't know what to do. What should I do? And I was like, here, I'll go get him. Like, proof of life.
Oh, you've been some girlfriend.
Thinking about the case where like you start dating someone and you don't like their animal. It's my cat. And you're like, yeah, I met that cat.
I mean, I have a problem that I have cats all the time and some people are allergic.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've had girlfriends that were allergic to the cats. And guess what? Cats are still here.
I had a roommate move in when I was living in Boston. She had a big old cat. I don't know why. I'd lived with cats before. I was fine with it. But I didn't really care for her cat. It would just come in my room. And I'd just be in there and I'd see this cat. Ah! And just it would sneak in. And then it would just be walking around like, Hey.
You're saying this like, oh man, this cat was really fucking with me. Like, well, I was in this cat's house and sometimes it
was my place. It moved into my territory.
You're looking at his face. He does not understand that concept.
Sometimes cats are hanging out in the room. What was it doing? Sitting. But like in a way that I was aware of it, you know?
I didn't like coming home and coming into my room after a long day at work, putting your bag down and I'd be like, ah, it's you! And then it just looks at me like, hey, fuck off. You know?
I'm on the cat side.
I'm sorry. I just feel like it had a very flippant, possessive attitude.
I appreciate your tone.
I just always remember I had a boyfriend who, after we had sex, he would like rush to let his cat back in the room. He'd be like, Charlie boy, come here. And he'd be like naked and still like petting his cat. Yeah, and he'd referred to himself as the cat daddy.
I refer to myself as a cat dad. Usually when I'm saying the phrase, I'm a bad cat dad, you know, when I feel guilty for neglecting Thomas or something. But to refer to oneself as the cat daddy, unless you are in a swing band, is completely unacceptable.
Unless you have a zoot suit.
Yes.
Then you can be cat daddy.
Then you're cat.
My dog used to watch having sex, but like from the corner, like a polite gentleman. Now he must just listen. I don't know.
I had a guy whose beagle kept barking super loud and then would open the door and jump on the bed and bark aggressively, and he had to be like, get these.
It's like, nobody's being hurt right now.
Yeah, this dog would be like, rah, rah, rah.
The worst part is that he had trained it to do that.
It's funny. It's like someone arranges for you to get a call during a date so you have excuse to get out. He's like, if we start having sex, man, just interrupt immediately. Well, you know what Temple Grandin says? She says black cats are the smartest and white cats are the meanest.
Does she have a reason for that? Or?
No, she just said in her experience as a woman with autism who takes care of animals.
I just want to say that as a woman with autism...
who takes care of animals or
white
whatever...
White cats are the meanest.
That's what she says. She says black cats are the smartest. Nicest and I'm smart. Yes. I don't know.
I've not heard any studies about personality relating to cat color. I think it's mostly cultural.
So
I didn't mean to end up there when I started that sentence. But, you know.
So my cat Lacey was a mean cat. So I poked an asshole's dick.
Yep.
And it wasn't the last time.
Although I used to live in an apartment where, you know, at the back they had a porch in the back, and there was, you know, another porch. And I remember hearing this couple, and it was a black couple. This guy going, "That dog is just racist," and he was like lamenting their friend's dog that would bark at him.
Dogs are racist.
And he's like, "Yeah, this dog just fucking loses his mind whenever I get around it."
Dogs are racist.
Yeah, why is that?
Because
but dogs raised around black people aren't racist.
It's the same reason that babies are racist.
Why?
Because we're trained to fear difference. We're programmed to fear difference. And then as soon as you start developing more refined understandings of the world, you're like, oh yeah, that's fine. It's okay if there's a color difference. It doesn't affect anything. But if you don't ever have those higher reasoning capacities develop, like dogs, then you're just like...
Mm-hmm. Or it's reinforced.
It's different and weird! It's different and weird! That's what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's even worse than just barking. Saying it's different and weird, different.
Yeah, yeah.
He's judging.
Yeah.
He's judging
yeah.
And
I don't mind you being alive, but just don't come into my neighborhood.
Yeah. Stop fucking my owner.
Exactly. I used to live near a housing project, and I see these guys who got these little pitbull puppies. Oh, your puppy's so cute. They're like, yeah, he's learning. And they would just like pull the chain, and I'd be like, no. Is there anything better than a When Animals Attack video, though? They're so great.
I don't think I've ever seen a When Animals Attack.
Oh, they're awesome.
Describe.
One of the most famous ones that they always show is the guy who's the hunter out in the wild, and this deer just goes with his hooves. He gets knocked on his ass, and the deer is essentially just jumping on him with his hooves. And
I don't know if I've seen that
horns.
One, but I've seen deer attack videos.
Yeah.
When I lived in southern Illinois before I moved out here, they had a huge wooded area on campus, and every year they would warn students about, oh, there are the killer deers out there. There are deers that will attack you. And they showed video of one of a deer.
Yeah.
It's like
a T-Rex.
It's like watching two adolescents that don't really want to be in a fight that are like doing that like slapping at each other. Except that instead of floppy hands, they have razor sharp hoofs. Deer will fuck you up, man.
That's crazy. Well, turkeys will attack you.
Birds can be dicks.
Fucking big fowl when they flap their big wings at you?
I worked at a...
Horrifying.
That sounds horrifying.
I worked at a bar that was on the side of a lake, and so they're just like ducks and geese that went, you know, lived at this lake. You know, I would go out there and feed them bread, and that's...
Don't do it!
That's fun, right? Oh, they come up, little ducks come up, quack, quack, we're eating some bread. And then you would see the geese. They would all see that you're there, and they just start moving together. And like, you'd be like, oh, a couple little ducklings. Hey, this is nice. Just, oh, God, they're coming. You know, it was like a zombie movie, just like watching the horde just like coming for you. And the rape monsters. Was
another part too.
Yeah, like cows, you know, you can look into cows' eyes and see a gentle soul. Birds, no.
Well, I had a friend who had a pet chicken.
Was there love exchanged between them?
Yeah, she loved that chicken. Chicken was pretty nice.
Did the chicken... Okay, she loved the chicken. Did the chicken love her?
I think it had a certain affinity for her as being the one who gave her the food.
Okay.
Yeah. I've met some chickens that people own.
I've met some chickens.
You're right. I mean, they're outdoor animals, which I'm fine with.
There's less pressure on an outdoor animal.
Well, we're going to have more and more pets in public places. I work in an indoor restaurant. People still come with their dogs, and I'm like, hey, you can't have your dog in here. They're like, what?
What?
But people don't seem to get that a dog is unclean. They think you're insulting them by being like, yeah, you gotta get the dog out of there. And they're just like, what are you saying? And I'm like, I'm saying you own a dog. What the fuck is this news to you? Like,
you want all of the people in the restaurant to wear shoes, hence the sign out front.
Yeah.
Your dog is not wearing shoes. He's a little barefoot animal.
Walking in its own feces.
Poofing!
Yeah.
Dogs in restaurants, though, got me thinking just now of how much dog hair I've probably ingested.
Oh yeah. Probably like a pound sitting in your stomach.
A lot. And I invite that because it's my dog.
If you drop something on the floor, do you eat it? Mm. That was a yes. That was 100% a yes.
That was not a no.
Well, I was just thinking about what it might be.
Well, if you're to the point where you're qualifying, then the answer is yes. Sometimes I eat things I drop on the floor. And
not all
there's...
the time. Right. But if it's like a wet thing, I'm not going to pick it up. If it's like eggs, I'm not going to pick that up.
Yeah. Let the dog eat
That is why we have dogs, right? So mobile vacuums.
Yeah, like a Cheeto, whatever.
Yeah.
Proto Roomba.
You don't have carpets in your place, though, do you?
In my house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, because I always hated that feeling of cat litter in a carpet when you're walking around barefoot. Isn't that disgusting?
It is the
worst. Yeah, you're like, oh, this is urine feces.
It does sort of make you vacuum maybe more frequently than you would if you're like me and you have a problem with that.
Yeah, because they're always kicking that shit all over the place.
Yeah. Your little kitten comes and like sits on your lap. And Thomas has these big fat mutant hands with thumbs, and he'll do this thing where he just like sweetly like reaches out and like says hello to you.
Oh, that's the hand that you step in poop boxes with. Oh, thank you, buddy. Oh,
right on your face.
Boy. Right on my face. Oh,
yeah,
that's
good stuff.
Yeah, I definitely have toxic blood.
Let's go, 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 to the midnight breakfast. Eggs and bacon, waffles too. No topic there is taboo. Coffee's black.
Well, you guys, that is our first show. Thank you to my guests, Katie Merriam and Laura Crawford. Thank you to Gary Best for the Midnight Breakfast theme and Mike Garvin for some additional musical help. The Midnight Breakfast team is myself, David Sharp, audio engineer Dave Brennan, and culinary engineer Shayna, the cat mommy, Brennan. If you want to hear more from Katie, you can find her on Twitter at Katability, KatAbility. You can find Laura at Crawford Comic, and I am at David and Sharp. You can also find all my live dates at davidsharpcomedy.com, and Midnight Breakfast is midnightbreakfastpodcast.com at 12 a.m. breakfast. Midnight Breakfast is a production of the Crab Diving Network. Thank you to Ryan Pfeiffer for helping us exist. Oh, and for any listeners wondering, the phrase is a glaring of cats. There you go. Well, it is after midnight. It's a brand new day.